He's Alan Shartok.
Hello, Governor.
Doctor, is there a doctor in the house?
Long time no see. So you're keeping busy, are you?
I am working for the people and earning my pay. I'm producing. I am producing, Doctor.
So I understand you were over there in Connecticut. You know, your dad didn't like to travel too much, didn't like to get away from Albany too much, but, you know, this is a major move going over to Connecticut. You know, it's pretty far distance.
I had to get a passport. I packed an overnight bag just in case. You never know. I brought a GPS, but I found my way home.
You didn't get along too well with the predecessor governor, but Governor Lamont and you seem to be big pals. You go fishing together. You work on marijuana together. You do that. I don't mean you smoke marijuana together, but you work on the whole legalization question. What's the difference between the personalities of the last governor and this governor?
We did a lot with Connecticut in the past administration, but I think it's the time now, Alan. We have problems that we have never had before, and we are on our own. The federal government is nowhere to be found. Since we're on our own, at least try to join with the surrounding states on issues where a geographic coalition makes sense, and join together for strength, because we're getting nothing from the federal government, and we do have unprecedented issues. We talked about a number of normal, I would call them, neighbor state issues, transportation. We have the Metro North in common, et cetera, policing. But marijuana and vaping are complicated, and they're getting more complicated. And a regional discussion makes sense, because you don't want people going back and forth over the border shopping. So for marijuana, New Jersey's talking about doing it. Connecticut is talking about legalizing recreational use, where I support it. I tried to get it done last year. So we want to have a discussion among the states to see if we could come up with a common framework. In other words, what age are the other states going to allow? One state has a younger age, you then induce people to drive back and forth, buy marijuana, and then drive back. What age? What's the THC content? What's the tax rate that you're thinking of charging? What are the police procedures that you're going to put in place? What training are you going to put in place? Issues like this that makes sense to have a discussion. And then you have to overlay vaping. Your state, Massachusetts, just
good
announced
state, yeah,
a four-month ban on all vaping and e-cigarettes. Well, how does the vaping policy overlay on the marijuana policy? Can you vape marijuana? In New York, we're banning flavored vaping e-cigarettes. Well, what substances will you sell for marijuana, and are they attractive to children? Do you do gummy bear marijuana like you do in Massachusetts? So the discussion is logical, and we haven't done it before. We've done it episodically. I do a lot of work with Jersey. We do work with Connecticut, et cetera. But October 17th, we're going to have a regional summit on these issues. And the governors will be invited. The legislative leaders will be invited from their respective states. The police commissioners or state police superintendents to try to talk through these issues. I don't know that we'll agree, but we should know what the other ones are thinking about.
Yeah, but what I don't get here is that, you know, we've done it here in my good state of Massachusetts. Of course, we have a Republican governor. I certainly hope that that doesn't have anything to do with it. He'll be invited, right, to this regional meeting?
Yes, but Massachusetts already passed their law.
That's right, and we're not having any problems with it. That's the thing. I mean, you guys are planning and planning and planning. In the meantime, I look out the door and there are all these New York license plates and Connecticut license plates, New York license plates particularly, lined up in one of our marijuana pot shops. Maybe it's just time to just do it, don't you think?
Well, you're not having any problem with it. With all due respect, then why did you just decide to ban vaping for 4 months if you're not having any issue?
Well, because there's not an issue with marijuana, but there's an issue with vaping, all right. We now have evidence that vaping is killing people. So it makes great sense for the good Republican governor of Massachusetts to ban vaping as opposed to marijuana, which we're not seeing any real negative aspects to.
Oh, just to provoke somewhat. So
you think I'm doing that to you? You think
yes.
Do you think I'm purposely provoking you, sir?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Let me provoke
you. Found
me
out.
Let me provoke
yeah.
you.
Okay.
So you can't vape tobacco, but you can vape marijuana?
I don't
Where's
know.
Where's the logic there, doctor?
There's no logic there. Look, vaping is one thing. It makes sense to say no vaping. But why are you suggesting that New York can't just go right ahead and legalize marijuana? You know, there are those people, Governor, to be honest with you, let's be fair here, who think you never wanted it and that this is all baloney.
On what theory? Look, there are people who think a lot of things, right?
Sure.
And facts
because
are...
Because you once said to me a long time ago, you had grave problems with marijuana. It was a gateway drug and all the rest of that. Now you've changed your mind, I assume, on all of that. But, who knows whether you really have changed your mind.
I never said grave danger. But if someone did not have pause when the topic of legalization of marijuana first came up, they weren't thinking, doctor. There are legitimate issues about legalizing marijuana. This is not a slam dunk.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a slam dunk 3 years ago. I believe it can be done. It should be done. I believe from a social justice point of view, an expungement point of view. But you have to do it carefully, and you have to do it right. You don't want young people buying marijuana. And the vaping issues do complicate it. You went past my question. Why would you outlaw vaping of tobacco but allow vaping of marijuana? And you did that artfully. But these are real questions. And what is the logic? And we want to ban flavored e-cigarettes. Shouldn't you have a similar analog concern about the way you sell marijuana? Some states went forth. They came up with policies. Colorado was out very early, and then they had to refine the policies. So it's not should we do it. We should do it. Let's just be smart on how we do it.
Well, you can be so smart that it never gets done. I mean,
no,
that's what I'm thinking here.
All right.
The other thing is, I'm interviewing you. Right? But you always turn it around. And so all of a sudden, you're interviewing me, and I have to answer the questions. That's not the way it works, or should work.
No, I don't.
Do
I don't really.
Point?
They're just rhetorical questions that I pose to you, because they are questions that you cannot answer. So they're not really questions in the traditional sense. They're just rhetorical flourishes. We're doing this meeting October 17th.
Right.
I said to Governor Lamont, Connecticut, I want to announce a full policy in January in my state of the state. And that's why I want to get it done before January. And I want to have consulted the other states and had the police consult and had the legislative leaders consult because I don't want to come up with a contradictory policy or a competitive policy with the other states if we can avoid it. But in January, I will have a full proposal. It would have been the best way to get things done, I think we can all agree, is in the state budget. When it's not in the state budget, that's when things get problematic. And that's been our experience over and over again. So I'm going to have it in January and include it in the budget.
Well, that's good, because by next January, my little town of Great Barrington, Massachusetts, will have an extra $1 million probably, or maybe $2 million, because you took so long to get it done. That's money that New York could have had.
Well, there's something called the legislative process and the deliberative process, which I know is much diminished in modern politics, but it is still relevant.
Yeah. Well, no. I hear you, and I want to tell you that several $1 million, which Great Barrington will have collected in its local taxes, is thanks to you. You know, I got a letter recently. It was a nasty letter saying, "Why are you being so nasty to the governor?" I wanted to ask you that. Do you think I'm being nasty, unnecessarily nasty to you?
Well, it's an interesting topic, and let's not use the pejorative of nasty, nice, what's nasty, what's nice.
Yeah.
You have been one of, if not the, harshest critic of me throughout my career. You have never, that I can recall, supported my election in a competitive race. You have every opportunity you have opposed me politically. You've written some of the most critical things of me. But that's why I think in many ways this discussion is beneficial. I welcome the harshest critic throwing the hardest fastball, curveball, screwball.
Screwball?
Remember the screwball you threw with your fingers?
Yeah, I remember screwballs. Yeah, and I also know what it means.
So I welcome it. I welcome it. You ask questions that are as direct sometimes inflammatory as can be, and great. That is transparency.
Okay, let's talk about the measles. You know, measles epidemic has been declared over in Rockland County, outbreak for whatever. According to the county executive and its health commissioner, what did we learn? Did we learn anything about how to manage these outbreaks, and especially when it comes to the question of vaccinating our children?
Well, I think what we learned, I don't believe we learned anything new about vaccinations. I understand the concerns that have been raised, the quote-unquote anti-vaxxers. I understand the scientific debate. I also understand, by the way, that you cannot, no one can tell you with certainty how a human body is going to react to a vaccination. But public health can dictate that this is in the best interest of the public health writ large. I think what we did learn was government has to function, and even when you can't make everybody happy, you still have to function in the best interest of the people. And I was protested by anti-vaxxers everywhere. I still am.
Yep.
And it was very passionate opposition. But we did the right thing. We did the right thing, and the numbers demonstrate that we did the right thing, because the numbers are literally down to zero in some parts of the state because children were vaccinated. And I'm proud of what we did, even though it was hard. And I guess that's the lesson. Sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. But there are very few big things and great things that happen that aren't hard, by the way. When you do the list of lifetime accomplishments, whatever they are, graduating college, succeeding in sports, family, it's always hard. For me in politics, marriage equality, $15 minimum wage, climate change, these were all hard, hard things. We announced Belmont development with a new stadium for the Islanders, a new nanotech center for Utica,
Who's paying for all that?
The taxpayers are investing.
But don't you think it's somewhat disingenuous? You're going to be out of here by the time you'll probably be Attorney General of the United States under Joe Biden by the time we have to pay for this, or the New Yorkers. I don't live in New York, although I do pay taxes in New York. Don't you think there's something to be said about, you know, you announce these things, but you don't have to be around to pay the bill?
No, that we're paying the bills. You pay lower.
You,
taxes.
I mean, you as a politician.
Yes, yes. The budget balances. You pay lower taxes today than the day I was elected. You should thank me. Taxes in the state of New York are lower in every tax rate than the day I was elected. More private sector jobs than ever before in history. These are investments because they will generate tax dollars, and it's private sector money. But it's all hard. Seneca Tribe announced today that the Thruway Authority can finally go on the thruway and do the repairs. Yeah, but it was hard to get them there. We're having a dispute with the Senecas because they owe the state revenue from their casino. They've lost in court. They lost in arbitration, and they still won't pay. And they control the land on part of the thruway, and they wouldn't let the Thruway Authority go in and make necessary repairs. And it was difficult. Oh, by the way, Congressman Reid, in true form of the Trump administration, calls for the Department of Justice to investigate me because the thruway is not repairing the road, which is interesting because it's emblematic of how the Republicans use the Justice Department. They see it as a political attack mechanism. Reid calls for my investigation by the Department of Justice, which, by the way, is U.S. attorneys who are all appointed politically, without a scintilla of evidence. What theory is there for the federal government to investigate me because the Thruway Authority isn't allowed to fix a piece of road from the controlled by the Senecas? But go to the Department of Justice as a political attack mechanism.
Okay, let's go there.
The president said to the Ukrainian Zelensky, I'll have my attorney general work with you to investigate Biden. It's just they think the Department of Justice is a political attack mechanism.
So let's go there. Nancy Pelosi announces that it's time for an impeachment inquiry. I asked the governor of New York, what do you think?
Well, she either had a crystal ball or was prophetic yesterday. Because when the transcript came out today and you actually see what the president says, you're darn right there should be an inquiry. Forget the politics of the situation. Just the legal analysis now of the situation. You have the president saying Giuliani and my attorney general will help you investigate my political opponent. How do you justify the use of public resources for a political purpose? It would be like if I said we're going to use the state police to investigate. Call the state police. They'll help you investigate my political opponent. That's not a political question. That's a legal question. That's a criminal question. Yes, inquiry, all these semantics, investigate that because there's potential illegality.
Well, are you prepared to say now, Governor Cuomo, that this president should be impeached?
I'm prepared to say now there should be a legal investigation into the propriety and legality of what he said and did.
What if
think about it, Alan?
Sure, Sure.
You have the president saying to a foreign head of state, investigate my political opponent. My attorney general will help you. By the way, do me a favor. And contemporaneously, we can release hundreds of millions of dollars to you.
Well, on its face, does that looks like something that is an impeachable offense?
On its face, it does. But since we're responsible and prudent, we don't take the first judgment, but we will investigate and find the facts. But you're right. I think on its face, it raises serious legal questions.
Now, there are congressmen, Congressman Brindisi and others, who do not want to, you know, be talking about impeachment. At least that's the way I see it. Is that a mistake on their part? Is there a point at which every congressman at this stage ought to be saying, hey, if it smells like a skunk, it is a skunk?
Look, I think they're all trying to make a political calculus. How does this affect me politically? The best rule of thumb was the best government is the best politics. The best government is the best politics. Just do the right thing. Yes, this is going to be divisive. The country's already divided politically. I don't think it's going to be any more divisive than this president has succeeded in dividing us already.
Will it help? Will it help this? Will Pelosi calling for impeachment inquiry, will it help the president get reelected?
I don't know. But I also
believe... You're a pretty smart guy when it comes to politics. You should know. I'll bet when you're sitting around a dinner table, you know. Why don't you tell us?
Because I don't know what the net effect is. But I also think she had no choice. You have a constitutional obligation. When you are presented with the facts in that transcript, you have no choice. And that's her ultimate liberation. Once you read that transcript and you know your constitutional obligation as the leader of the House, she has no choice. She has no choice. You have to investigate that because on its face, it raises troubling legal questions. Well, what's the political impact? Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's your constitutional obligation. And then the chips fall where they may.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Let me go back for a second and ask you about Rudy Giuliani. You have the president's lawyer. You have the president's attorney general, or the attorney general of the United States, I should say, more troubling than Giuliani. But what do you think about Giuliani at this stage of the game? You've known this guy for all of these years. What are you saying around the dinner table? Forget about what you're saying to a million of us right now.
Yeah, look, don't tell him I said it. But my brother Chris did a heck of a job with Giuliani.
He called him Fredo again.
Yeah, that's okay, because he really advanced this story. See, he had Giuliani on. And Giuliani, if you let Giuliani talk, he will tell you what he's thinking. He says, I talked to the Ukrainian officials. Chris asked him, well, did you talk about Biden? First he said no. Then he says, yes, we talked about Biden. Giuliani believes there's a theory of that Biden did something wrong with the prosecutor, and that's their story. And they're looking to get the Ukrainian government to help them do that. He said it. And then the next day the president came out and he said, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what we're doing. And that was the whistleblower complaint, which they tried to stifle. Now, all of a sudden, you see the Department of Justice was involved in stopping the release of the whistleblower complaint. And, oh, by the way, the whistleblower complaint may implicate the attorney general. The Department of Justice says there's no campaign finance violation. Who cares about a campaign finance violation? How about using the Attorney General as a political attack dog? How about that? How about the President of the United States saying, I'll assign my Attorney General to work with you to attack my political opponent? How about the legality of that? Come on.
No. I hear you. If you don't hear me arguing back, it means I agree with you. Okay? So get that. Now, there was a recent report by Jimmy Vielkind that the next legislative session could end around Memorial Day rather than the end of June to give legislators more time to campaign. Is this a good idea?
I have not talked to them about that. They set their schedule. My two cents was we shouldn't have two elections, one in April for president and one in June for the Congress, Senate, and Assembly. We should consolidate them so people only have to vote once, so we don't have to hold two elections. We can save $20 million and not burden again this Board of Elections system in this state, which is already overburdened. But if they have the June election, if they don't consolidate and go to April and they stay in June, then my theory is they're saying we need time to go home and be in our district to campaign. But as long as they get their job done, you know, what difference does it make if you're there 10 days or 5 days or 60 days? Just get the job done.
No, we pay them to go to work. Don't we? We pay everybody to go to work. So if they don't want to work,
But then you pay their expenses when they're in Albany.
Yeah.
And you pay them one way or the other. And part of their job is to be in their district, representing the people in their district and working that level. So they get a budget done. They get the laws passed that they want to pass, and they can save you expense money, and they can go home and represent people in the district. I think that's fine.
Okay, you got 2 minutes on this one, and that's it. And I mean that's it. This week, you announced a $1 billion high-tech development project at SUNY Poly near Utica. We had our own Karen DeWitt saying it's the first announcement of jobs since the economic development scandal brought a federal prison sentence for the former head of the institute as well as a top aide to you and several of the governor's former associates. Should New Yorkers be confident now based on what has happened in the past? You got 2 minutes.
Well, first of all, it's not true that that's the first economic development announcement. I didn't hear what she said, but if that's what she said, she's wrong. We've been doing economic development announcements all along. All across upstate, downstate, et cetera.
1 minute.
We lost a project in Utica Nano, AMS, a company that pulled out 3 years ago. And we said, we believe in Nano and we're not giving up. And Howard Zemsky, the head of ESD, went around the world, literally. And we have a company, Cree, moving up from North Carolina and putting in $1 billion into Utica. 600 jobs. We haven't had anything like that in decades. And job creation and the investment to create the jobs and the formation of a cluster economy, the nano economy, which you know very well the benefits because you go through the whole capital district and you see those home prices going up and you see all those big salaries. That's all pursuant to state investment. That didn't just happen. Albany didn't become the nano capital because lightning came down and struck the capital district.
1 minute.
That was a state investment.
Okay. So, Governor Cuomo, I had a lot of other questions to ask you, of course. And if I've said anything that's either disrespectful or mean-spirited, well, all right. So I just want to say thank you for being here, answering the questions, and being of good spirit. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just remember in my obituary one line I want. And he faced his harshest critic on a frequent basis. Period.
Well, I guess we're going to have to say it. Okay. Thank you
Thank you so much.
Thank you
Thanks,
so
Doc.
Much.
Thanks.
That's New York Governor Andrew Cuomo speaking with WAMC's Alan Shartok. All Things Considered is next on WAMC. It's 4 o'clock.